Well, I want to preach for a little while, and then Brother Danny Jenkins is going to come up in a little bit, and we're going to vote on. I met with the deacons about some exciting things of our church, and I do want our church to know that we're looking to see what the Lord would lead us to do in the avenue of helping have more room for some Sunday school, adult classes, and the next step forward. And we'll be sharing more of that in times and months to come. But I just want you to know that we are certainly trying to do what we should do to meet the need in our area, because I believe that everybody should be in a Bible-believing church. And this area is growing, and we're blessed with growth at the church, but we also want to not only have folks come, we want to care for them, and we want to minister to their needs, and we want to give people a place to belong. And part of that vision is to give them a spot where they can come into smaller groups, and Sunday school is the most obvious way to do that. And so please pray for me and pray for the men. Pray that we would find the Lord's will in these things, because I'm anxiously looking forward to see what God would do in the days, weeks, months, years ahead, however long God gives us. And I'm looking forward to that. But in that, I also want us to keep on mission of what God wants us to do here and around the world. You want to do it here and not around the world? We don't want to do it around the world, not here. And so he's going to come with some mission items here at the end of this message and bring it to our church. And we want to have a little business meeting and vote to help some of our missionaries, that we might be a blessing to them as we see the world get the gospel. So I want to preach and get to that as well. But I want you to look, if you would, at Acts chapter 10. We're going to look at verse number 13 down for just a little while, Acts chapter 10. And I want to preach for a little bit about why Peter went. Because if I can catch you up to date or up to speed on some of this stuff, I should say, Peter, he sees the great sheet that comes down from heaven. It descends unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. That's the verses before where we're getting started at. And then we're going to look at chapter 10 of Acts, verse number 13. After that sheet came down, and there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've not eaten anything that's common or unclean." You remember that Peter would have tried to obey the Jewish laws that don't eat pork, don't eat this, don't eat the other things. He said, "I've not never eaten anything that's common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius, I'll tell you about them in just a second, had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I've sent them." Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, "Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you're come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee." What I told you is going to catch you up on in the first eight verses or so, you just saw that Cornelius gets a word from God, and he says, "Send a person, some people over there to that house, and you'll talk to a man," as we just read the account of. "You'll talk to somebody over there named Simon, surnamed Peter, and he's going to give you instructions." And so God orchestrates this whole intricate story to get Cornelius the gospel. It's going to happen there in the verses after 23. And I want to preach, though, for a little bit about this. Why Peter went. Why Peter went, because you understand, when he saw that vision with the sheep coming down and there's all kinds of animals on there that he was never allowed to eat when he was growing up. He would have never had a ham sandwich. He would have never had pork chops. He'd never had bacon. He'd never had any of that stuff. And boy, what a rough life to live that would have been. But he didn't have any of that. And so God let this sheet down and he said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat in this vision." But can you imagine the audacity? He said, "Not so, Lord, you must have forgot a few things," which God's never forgotten anything. "Not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And what God said, what God has cleansed, thou call not uncommon. And so we see, or call not common. And so we see here that Peter gets a new marching orders. And I want to show you why he went, and trust it's a blessing in the next few moments that we have. First of all, we see that he went because he listened to God. In that passage that we just read from 13 down to 16, we see that God said, you're going to have to do this. He listened to him. In verse number 28, if you look down there just for a moment, and he said unto them, ye know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. This is what he's telling these people that have come as dispatch from Cornelius. He said, you know, it's not even legal for me to keep company with people that are from some other nation. But then he says on, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now, this is hard for me to imagine because I've grown up in a Christian church that said everybody was just as important as anyone else. And many of you have done the same, that the gospel just needs to go to everybody. We've never looked at somebody and said, well, I don't know about you. You're not from around here, you're not from this nation or whatnot, but we see that he listened to God. Can you imagine the audacity back in 14 where he said, not so, Lord? How could a preacher utter those words? Well, he uttered those words because that's the way he was raised up. That was what the law was. But now he's got two choices. Cornelius's messengers come and they find Simon, they find Peter, and they say to him that we were sent to get you to come back to where Cornelius was. And Simon had one of two choices. He could either go or he could disobey. And I would tell you that that's the same choices that we have in our world today. We have the Williamses, they're up with Kyle and Anna now, and we have the them that are ready to go to other places in the world, and the other missionaries come through, and we realize that they've taken the challenge from the Lord to take the gospel to where it is at Matthew chapter 28, go ye into all the world. And so we have that same option that Peter had. We say of that same option that a missionary has, that God's burdened his heart to go to the United Kingdom or go to Honduras or go somewhere else. We have the choice to either get the gospel there or disobey the Lord. And to Peter, it was simply a matter of disobedience. And as we get the gospel to the world, then we decide, do we want to have a part? If I could give you just a little time out, I told you already this morning that next week when my pastor's here, oh, I'd love for you to come and hear him. When he's here, we'll take up cards that have that faith promise way that you can say that I feel like this is what God would have us to have a part in worldwide missions over the next 12 months. And we'll receive those at the end of the services. It's not a gimmick. It's not something that we're trying to pressure people because we don't even know who gives what or how long or whatnot. But it's just something to give us each an opportunity to get the gospel to the world. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to sign anything, of course. It's just something that you feel led to do in taking the gospel around the world. And Peter here, he listens to God because his old ways would have said, I can't do that. I can't be seen with these people. I certainly can't be howdying around with them. But God had said, don't call common the things that I've cleaned. But I see not only did he listen to God, but he also, verse 28, got out of his comfort zone, because that's the way it says, I wouldn't even be here if it hadn't been for that sheet coming down from heaven, if it hadn't been for that vision that God had given me, if it had not been for the marching orders that I got from God Almighty himself, I wouldn't even be here. He says, it's unlawful thing for a man to keep, of a Jew, to keep company or come unto another man that's of another nation. And so he got out of his comfort zone at age 25. There was a man named Adoniram Judson, and Adoniram Judson left America in 1813. He and his wife, they were married a short 2 weeks before they headed off to Burma, Myanmar. He eventually made it to Burma, ministered for nearly 40 years in that part of the world. He was imprisoned, he was tortured, but he never gave up. He established several churches, but the greatest accomplishment that he made was to translate the Bible into the native tongue over there, and they're still using, a missionary friend of mine that's got some ministries in and out of that region, they're still using the Judson Bible, the Bible that Adoniram Judson was used of God to translate. But it happened only because he got out of his comfort zone and he left what he'd always known up until that point. And I'm saying this evening that Peter got out of his comfort zone, and it may make us a little uncomfortable. How many of you understand when you see some things on TV sometimes, or you see some things in a newscast, and you realize that people are involved in some lifestyle that makes your blood boil or makes you sick or makes you upset and makes you whatever it makes you? You've got to realize that Jesus Christ died for those people just as much as he died for your children and mine. I understand that some sin makes us sicker than others, but all sin is capable to be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to never forget that nobody outruns the long arm of forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ if they would only turn to him. And so somebody, though, Peter was the one, had to rise out of his comfort zone. And I would say that in a crowd like this, maybe it's one of us that needs to rise out of our comfort zone and drop some of our prejudices and drop some of our things that we think about this person or that person, and we need to drop those things and realize that this is a big world, and even the people that we don't care for sometimes and certainly don't do things like we do, they are candidates for the gospel, because the gospel goes much further than you and I go or want to go. Maybe some of us need to get out of our comfort zone and say, I'm going to go myself. The Williamses, they've decided that God's leading them to go where they haven't been before and go to the United Kingdom. Going to the foreign field, that's certainly one way to get out of our comfort zone. And so I ask myself, am I willing to get out of my comfort zone? I believe I'm in the direct will of God right where I am. I believe I'm supposed to be the pastor of this church, and I love what I do. I love this group of people. I love what our church family. I love everything about what I do. Well, that's not true. Every job's got a few things that we don't like. Sometimes a church member will get out of line, and I'll say, now, Larry Stover, you're going to have to straighten up. I saw him going too fast in that Corvette the other day, and I had to come as pastor and say, now, Larry, if I'm not in there, you can't go that fast. Now, if I'm in there, I kind of like the thrill ride. But I love what I do, and I'm thankful that God's got me here. But I'd like to think I'd be faithful if God said, John, pick up from there and go to the other side of the world. I hope I would be faithful to do that. But there are some missionaries that have come through here as of late, and they've done just that. They believe it's God's will that they pick up from everything they know and go to the other side of the world. And there's great people right here that used to sit in these pews, and God burdened their heart and wouldn't let them rest until they got on an airplane and went somewhere to proclaim the gospel where Jesus Christ was not named like he is over here. And we understand that they got out of their comfort zone. And I realize that if I'm not going to go somewhere, then I need to get a little uncomfortable with my giving, and I need to give some to help those that are going, since they're going and I'm not. Not only do we see he get out of his comfort zone, but I want you to see this back in verse number 2. Not only did we see he listened to God and got out of his comfort zone, but he also realized that people needed him. Look at verse 2. A devout man, this is Cornelius, and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This was a very religious man, a devout man, the Bible says, a centurion, but a lost man. He saw in a vision. God cared enough about him to send him a vision, verse number 3. And so God does all of this in the heart and life of Cornelius, all so that he would get Peter to come and talk to Cornelius. And why did Peter go? Because people needed him. Cornelius was going to gather some people together. He was going to gather some people. Look down in verse number 24. And the morrow after, this is when Peter did come to where Cornelius was, they entered into the Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen, that is his family, relatives, and near friends, as his good buddies. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And he talked with him. And that's when he came down to verse number 20. He says, I wouldn't even have been here before if God hadn't done a great work in my heart. He says, it was unlawful for a Jew to keep company with somebody from another country. But why did he go? Because God was going to orchestrate that people were going to hear. And I think about the Williams who are here with us tonight. They don't know who they're going to preach to. They don't know who they're going to teach to. But they do know that God wants them to go over there, and they're going to minister to somebody. I think about Tristan White. He was here with us last Wednesday. He's been ministering in Wales in that same area. I think of some of our many other good missionaries that have come through, the M family that was here going back to South Korea. What a needy area to go to. And they're going to proclaim the gospel, and people need them. Caesarea was only about 70 miles from Jerusalem where Peter was going to be here, but the gospel message had not gotten up there to where Cornelius was. But Peter was going to change that. And people needed him. Do you know that anthropologists tell us that they've never done a dive into societies or civilizations without finding that every tribe, every civilization, they had some system of worship, some altars, and some, they certainly weren't all seeking God, Almighty, the God of the Bible. But they've told us that every civilization that they've discovered had an altar system, and they somehow tried to worship some deities. People are looking. They don't know what they're looking for oftentimes. I meet people all the time that they'll say, I'm religious. I don't want to be a Christian, but I'm religious, or I'm a spiritual person. They may not know exactly what they're looking for, but God has put, and you've all heard it, God's put a void in everybody's life, and they're looking for something. Sometimes they don't want to hear you say it when you say it, but they're looking for something, and people needed Peter, and Cornelius was one of those people, and there are people all around this world that need the gospel. They need to hear some preacher. They just don't know it yet. Billions are lost. People needed him. So why did he go? Well, he went because he listened to God. He went because he was going to get out of his comfort zone. It wasn't comfortable for him to go preach and speak to those people who were unclean just right before that vision. And he realized that people needed him. What did Peter tell him when he got there? Oh, he gave him the gospel just like he always did. He told him about Jesus Christ and what he had done for him. Verse number, 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. He told the gospel, which is what every good missionary does whenever they get wherever they're going. He was going to tell that message. So tonight, my heart is overflowing with our good missionaries as I go up and down the hall and I read the missionary letters and I look at them, and you're going to vote on a few of them, and we hope to help some of them. But my heart goes out to each one of them because they have listened to the Lord. They needed to go there because people needed to hear the message. And I believe it's our responsibility to help them along the way as God prospers us. May we take a little bit of that and give it to those people who are going to the places where I'm not going. I'm not upset because we're not going. Again, I believe I'm right where God wants me to be. I hope I would be faithful to leave if God wanted me to and go to a foreign land. But while I'm not, I want to give some of my income, some of my wealth, the things that God has given me, to help get those people to go where God has called them to. Don't you? Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for the time to be in your house. Thank you for this time just to look a little bit about why Peter even went. Lord, it wasn't because of his comfort. He got out of his comfort zone. Lord, he went because you called him. He went because people needed him. He went to preach the gospel. Lord, help us to give. Help us to go. I pray there be some person in this crowd over this next week or so left of Missions Month that would say, I believe God's dealing with my heart to go to a foreign field. Oh, Lord, may it be so. And Lord, those of us who stay behind, I pray that each of us would be burdened from you to give a certain amount to help our missionaries stay or get on the field. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. As the ladies play tonight, if you're able to, would you stand together? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come tonight. Maybe there's somebody that you know that you ought to give the gospel to, but you haven't just because you about feel like Peter did with Cornelius. I don't want to go to that scoundrel. Peter had to swallow a lot of that pride and just say, God says, go to everybody. Maybe you're here this evening and God's dealing with your heart about what you're supposed to give for Faith Promise Missions. You don't have to tell me about that. You'll get those cards, and this week, next week, sometime, you'll fill it out and say, I believe God wants us to do this. Maybe you're here, most importantly, tonight. Maybe you're here and you're not sure that you're saved. That gospel message that Peter preached to Cornelius and the people that were his neighbors and relatives, his good friends, the gospel message was the same that we proclaim here, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. He is alive forevermore. And if you would put your faith in him, don't start coming to this church. Don't join this church. Don't start doing good works. Don't start being nice to people. Don't start this, that, or the other, turning over a new leaf. Don't do any of those hoping to get to heaven. All you do, all you can do, is turn to Jesus Christ from all your sin, from all your ability, all of your capabilities, turn to Christ. If you're here not sure you're saved, would you step out and come? As they play the rest of this verse, if God's dealing with your heart, maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Maybe you need to present yourself for baptism. Whatever it is, you do God's will in your life. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, you may be seated.